This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You will make your word alive to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Just for those that are here for the first time, I saw there were quite a number. Our pastor has the weekend off. His children said to him in Afrikaans now, "So gaan jy ook vir 'n keer luister?" So is he going to listen for once as well and not just talk? I want to... You know, I was asked to preach this morning, and you can see there it says choices. And about a month or 6 weeks ago, I went through the book of Habakkuk. I actually don't know whether one pronounces it that way or some others say a little bit different. Might be now 6 weeks ago, my wife and myself, we were reading the book of Habakkuk. You know, it's one of those books where probably, you know, when we look for it, we can't find it, you know, because it's so short, you always miss it, you know, back front and you see Isaiah and Psalms and all of that, but then you have to go to the index and look which page, you know, and then you find out these pages are still like kind of stuck together, you know. It's probably a book that we do not look at that much. But, you know, it's only three chapters, and I just want to talk through that book a little bit. You know, Habakkuk was regarded as a minor prophet, but the message is certainly not a minor message that he has in this book. And if you haven't asked the kind of questions that Habakkuk is asking, then just carry on living. You'll get there. You'll ask those questions at some stage. You know, Habakkuk was very little. You know, I always love to read in the front there, you know, when was it and what was the time and who was the person and so on. And there's not much said about Habakkuk. You know, he was probably about 30 years old at the time when he was giving the message or the prophecy. But he was at the same time as Ezekiel and Jeremiah and a little bit older than Daniel. And it was about 605 years, that's what the history says, 605 years before Jesus was born. Habakkuk was on the scene there, and you know, it's in a time where you know, a good king, King Josiah, had died. He was a good king, and then that was in 609 before Christ, and it's 4 years later, Judah was on its way to a disaster. There was corruption, idolatry. You know, it's not that they were edging towards a cliff. They were kind of running towards it. And, you know, it looked like they're going to plunge, and they plunge over the cliff. And that's when these words, the first verse there, it's only half of the verse, you know, Habakkuk says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" You know, it sounds like a major issue. It's not it wouldn't be the first time that he talks to God if he says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help?" So obviously he's called for help quite a bit already, and he says, "And you do not listen." So that's what I was saying earlier. And, you know, it's sometimes may be the experience that we have as well. And, you know, despite his prayers, the violence continues, you know, the corruption continues, the idolatry continues, and he just sees that almost the law of the Lord is helpless, and those that do wrong get the upper hand. And he asks that, you know, he cries out. And a number of times in Scripture and in Psalm 10, it's a very similar. You know, he's not the only one that has cried out like that. It's in Psalm 10, verse 1, it's the same thing. It says there, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" You know, it's this cry that, "Lord, answer. Why are you quiet when things are going wrong?" So obviously he repeatedly has been calling on the Lord, and I kind of see a sense of frustration there, you know, and confusion. Why does God not answer? You know, Habakkuk doesn't even pray for himself. He prays for the people of Israel. You know, it's not that, "Lord, you know, I'm sick, and why don't you heal me, or something like that. He's actually, you know, asking God, "God, intervene. The people are on their way to a lost eternity." You know, and I often, when you drive behind cars, you sometimes see these little stickers on the cars, you know, and it kind of things like, I saw the other day one that says, "Prayer changes things." You know, and when I went through this year, I thought, you know, probably Habakkuk would have put this one on there where he says, you know, "Lord, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? You know, and you do not listen." And that would have been a bit different, you know. But he, like I said, you know, he was praying to God, not for himself. And I once read, you know, when Billy Graham, who recently passed away at a ripe old age, but 60 years ago, when he was still a young man, he was preaching already, and he said, you know, he had words like, "If God does not judge America, then he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." You know, that was his words, and I think probably Habakkuk had the same kind of feeling that if God does not intervene and stop this idolatry, and that he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's just a way of saying, you know, it was really bad. So, you know, the first thing that I want to say this morning, you know, although there's this frustration and Habakkuk puts his case before God. He's not staying quiet and say, let's just hope that, you know, things are going to change soon, or that a new king comes to power and he brings the nation back to, you know, he's honest. So I'm saying there, it's okay to ask the question. That's the kind of the first thing I see in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, you know, that it's okay. I think the Lord wants us to, you know, when if you have questions, if you have, go before him. Be open, be honest before him. Don't, you know, you can be open before the Lord. And I would actually challenge you that you do that. You know, we are busy with a 40-day prayer challenge. And there are, in some of them, you know, it's like we're asked to put forward our crazy ideas. Put forward you know, go before God and put your request before him. And in here, I'm seeing something similar, you know, that God wanted Habakkuk to put his request before him, because after all that silence, you know, in this confusing time, and it looks like God is silent, God actually answers. But, you know, I think what we need to see is that if we think God is silent, we must continue. We must continue to pray. And that was what Habakkuk was doing. He was continuing. He was communicating with God and saying, "God, I've now spoken to you so many times and you didn't answer. Why don't you answer?" And then God answers. You know, so in the second half of chapter 1, God answers Habakkuk's plea there, but it's not an answer that he wanted to hear. It's quite an unsettling answer, you know. And that, I think, we must look at that and see. First of all, what did God say? The first thing God says is, He doesn't kind of look, say, yes, I understand what you're saying here. And although I think the Lord had more sympathy with Habakkuk's concern there than maybe Habakkuk himself even, but the Lord almost counsels him and says, in verse 5, he says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. So it would almost appear that if Habakkuk was looking not at the right place, he was looking at the idolatry of Judah and the nation there, and the Lord says, take your eyes away there. Look at the nations. Look. You know, sometimes we are so narrowly focused, if I can call it that, where we just focus on and we don't see what God is doing elsewhere. You know, sometimes God is using other nations to bring a change in our nation. You know, so often maybe we say, if only the president changes in that country, then things will be okay. It's probably the prayer that Habakkuk had, but the Lord may be busy with a global change. And he says, look at the nations. And, you know, it's to me, in a way, the Lord is saying that we need to open our eyes. And, you know, when it says, I look at the hills, where does my help come from? Don't look here, where does my help come from? I look at the hills, where does my help from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth. And what makes it worse now is that God is going to use a wicked nation. He's actually developing a wicked nation to sort out the problem in Judah. And that is where Habakkuk is completely, it does not make sense to him. The Lord says, I'm going to raise up a nation to bring judgment to Judah. And it's almost like, you know, if the United States, for instance, you know, and if one would say, look, I will raise up Al-Qaeda to bring judgment on America. I mean, that's about, I think, what is you know, a message that Habakkuk got and said, no, surely not. You can't raise up pagans or people that don't believe you and walk along in your laws and that and bring judgment on us. But that is what God was busy with. And I thought, it's something that we need to also realize that when we pray and we ask God, God, answer, talk, why are you so silent? That we might get and be prepared for an unexpected answer. You know, be prepared that God is maybe already at work, but you're looking here, you're not looking there. And he may use those that you least expect that he will use. You know, I looked in this, you can see this book here, somebody said earlier this morning, this looks like an old book, you know, and it is an old book. You know, I've already got it about 34 years, and I got it when I went my first year for 2-year compulsory military service, you know. And but this book has got a lot of deep truths. I think it's called My Utmost for His Highest, you know. And I know there are newer books than this one, but I still got this one here. And I was just, you know, wanted to read just a short section out of this, because sometimes we say, Lord, why are you quiet? You know, like, here I am, send me. Or I want to be, you know, broken bread and poured out wine before you. You know, it's like, we might be quick to say this. And I just read a little section out of this one day here. It says, God can never make us wine if we object to the fingers he uses to crush us with. If God would only use his own fingers and make me broken bread and poured out wine, that would be okay. But when he uses someone whom we dislike, or some set of circumstances to which we said we would never submit, and makes those the crushers, we object. We must never choose the scene of our own martyrdom. If ever we are going to be made into wine, we have to be crushed. You cannot drink grapes. Grapes become wine only when they have been squeezed. Now, it's to me, it just describes what happened to Habakkuk here. Suddenly, it's going to be the Babylonians that's going to bring the... Now, he doesn't understand this, but he persists in prayer. You know, and that is the what I think we can also learn from Habakkuk. Habakkuk starts talking to God, and he continues to say to him, but surely God, surely not. He's trying to almost convince the Lord, Lord, can't you maybe just reconsider what you are about to do? But then, as we go to chapter 2, there is suddenly a change. Now, chapter 2 starts like this, and I've got the verse up there. Habakkuk suddenly says, I will stand at my watch and set myself on the rampart, that's on the wall of the city, and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Suddenly, Habakkuk, amazingly, after all the arguments, he says, I will stand and watch. I will not fight this. I will trust God. He commits himself to waiting on God rather than taking matters into his own hands. So Habakkuk puts himself in a position of waiting with confident trust in God. And I think what we can discover here is how important it is to wait on God. You know, we read in, actually, when God continues to talk to Habakkuk then, you know, he's decided, I will wait on you, and God continues to talk to him. We see in Romans, we see that Paul says there, the just shall live by faith. And that actually, it might be remind us from Martin Luther also saying that, you know, the just shall live by faith. But this comes out of Habakkuk. The Lord says to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. So he's telling Habakkuk, wait on me. And it's not a passive wait, it's an active wait. You know, when you wait on God, it's an expression of your faith. Really, you know, if we waiting on God is being open to him, being receptive to him, waiting for God's action, waiting for his voice, for his answer. So it's, you know, it's so many times we read in Scripture that those that wait on the Lord, you know, and faith, like I wanted to just say, is faith this action. And it says, you know, somewhere else, I can't remember now exactly where it is, but, you know, when it talks about faith and works, and it says, I will show you my faith by what I do. So faith, waiting on God, is not something that is passive. You know, and as it says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings like eagles. You know, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So be prepared to wait. Be prepared to wait on the Lord. From this, we, you know, just learn how Habakkuk, you know, he just decided, okay, I will trust the Lord. I will wait on him by faith. I will wait for the thing that he's going to do. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, and the rest of that chapter, the Lord actually just talks, and Habakkuk sits and listens. And the Lord talks about, you know, things that behavior that he detests. You know, there's like five woes there. And I won't go through all of them, but it's, you know, he says, woe to him who increases what is not his. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed. And then the Lord talks about that in more detail. And woe to him who makes idols, or woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, even to make him drunk. And so the Lord continues to speak to Habakkuk. And then suddenly Habakkuk, not quite at the beginning of chapter 3, but in chapter 3, Habakkuk makes a choice. And that's why I called this sermon Choices, because I think that is what, you know, when I read Habakkuk together with my wife, you see there that Habakkuk makes a choice. And choices, you know, it's often said that we are the result of the choices we make. You know, I am who I am, I am where I am, I do what I do because of the 1,000 choices I've made. You know, some people say that. And if I kind of say, you know, in my case, if I was just kind of looking at that when I was preparing, and then I thought, okay, you know, like about, can't remember now exactly how many years, it's like almost over 40 years ago, you know, I was here in Swakopmund, and there's every year, at the end of the year, there's these soccer tournaments, you know, and I was there, and I noticed this pretty girl, you know, going around there, and I made some choices, you know, and all along the way, I can't remember all the things that I said and the choices I've made, but, you know, this year we married 33 years. So, you know, choices, you make choices, and we may say, you know, we make choices, but our choices turn around and they make us, you know, and I think it's also, the scripture talks about that we have to make choices, you know, and I want to just share a few of them that I see in scripture. Moses, for instance, when he was quite old already, you know, he said to the people, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live." So Moses is calling for a choice. Make a choice, so that you and your children may live. Joshua, when he was an old man, also again talking to the people of Israel, he said, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You know, and then many years later, and it just seems again and again, the prophets had to tell the people of Israel. Elijah stood before the people, and he said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." So he's saying to the people, make a choice. And then I know that there are so many that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, and I've only got one here. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find or choose it are few." You know, if we look just at Habakkuk here, at verse 17, I just want to look at verse 17 on its own first. It's the words that I'm sure you've heard many times. It says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, Though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stalls. Now, if we just read that, it's a situation that is actually probably worse than what he sees the people doing corruption and things, and now he suddenly describes the situation. There's no food anymore. Now suddenly we don't have any food anymore. And he puts that situation, if we take the Habakkuk of chapter 1 and say, what would he have said? And I thought he might have said, Lord, will you then eventually show up when we have no food anymore? Or what? But this is a different Habakkuk. He goes on in verse 18, after he said, if there is no, the fig tree doesn't blossom and there's no herds in the stalls, and he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And then it ends off there, for the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Now, if you write a song, you don't write a song to sing it once. You write a song that it gets said over and over again. So he's saying, we can use today, you can say, though the fig tree does not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Are you seeking your safety and your comfort in maybe sources other than God? What things in your life make you rejoice? Like Habakkuk says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, even when things do not look as though God is answering. If God gave you nothing but himself, would you be satisfied? It's really the question that we should ask ourselves. Because in difficult times, where we demonstrate where our confidence lies, or we can almost put it around, when difficult times comes, then we see where our confidence has been lying all the time. So it's then the kind of the impurities come to the top. So, Habakkuk just looks to me like it starts off with a question mark. Habakkuk's saying, why, Lord? Why don't you answer? But it ends with an exclamation mark. When Habakkuk says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Nothing has really changed. If you really think about it, something has changed on the inside of Habakkuk. Nothing has changed on the outside. The problems weren't solved. But he made the right choice. So choose this day, to rejoice in the Lord. The people of Judah were still violent and corrupt. The Babylonians were still going to come. They hadn't come yet. But Habakkuk had changed on the inside. And that is where we often find ourselves, that we need to make the choice to follow him, to follow the Lord, and keep his word, follow him, because he says, that you will rise up on wings like eagles. I don't know this morning your different situations. I don't know whether you are happy or sad inside, or whether you are healthy or sick, or whether you are excited about the future, or you've got some things are uncertain. But if we decide, if we choose to wait on him, if we choose to speak openly to him, if we are prepared to get an answer that may not be the one that we thought should come, and if we are prepared to wait on him, then we can choose to rejoice in the Lord. I think we can We can leave this place even though the fig tree does not blossom. You know, I read sometime a short sentence that really spoke to me, and it's I almost want to say if we would take Habakkuk 600 years and I'll put it 600 years before Christ and I'll put it in 2018 after Christ, you know, it says you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when Jesus is all you have, then and only then will you discover that Jesus is all you need. And I think that is what I think the real message of Habakkuk, that Habakkuk realized that it's the Lord is all he needs, and he puts his trust in him. So this morning I want to just end off and say, you know, choices. We have choices to make. And as we are here this morning, there may be some that must make a choice to say, I do not know. I do not know, you know, the Lord that you're speaking about, or the God. I mean, I don't know how this, you know, today is the day of salvation. And also, you may be saying, you know, there might be a choice to make to say, I'm gonna come and speak to the Lord openly. I want to today decide that even though my situation is maybe difficult, I will continue to search for him. I will continue to speak to him openly. So I wanted to end off this morning and say that if there are choices to be made here this morning, then do not walk away and say, I'll just let it go. No, be like Habakkuk. Make the choice, you know, talk to the Lord, and not have a faith that is in action, because that's not faith, but a faith that is active. So I want to just close off in a word of prayer, and I want to ask that if there are people that want to come this morning, we've got young people here that I'm sure that would like to pray with you. We've also got some older people that I'm sure they would like to pray with you. So if there are choices to be made, do not delay. Let us pray. Lord, we are before you this morning, Lord, and we know that you made the choice, Lord. You chose to come because we were unable to come, Lord. You chose to come and come to us, Lord, and sacrifice yourself on the cross. And that's why we are here this morning, and you're calling us to come as well, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity after opportunity to come to you, Lord. And this morning we really want to pray, Lord, that our ears will be opened, our eyes will be opened, so that we can see where our help comes from. Lord, that we can indeed mount on wings like eagles, Lord. That indeed we can know that Jesus is all we need, Lord. We do not want to be distracted by things, Lord, that pull us away from you and pull us to things that so easily entangle us, Lord. Father, we want to worship you, and I want to pray, Lord, that you will do a work in people that need to make a decision, Lord. Father, that they will not walk away and not make this decision, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness. We worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.